T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Marks and Reese, we are back. And, you know, Doug today at his press conference certainly threw fuel or poured fuel on the fire of Carson Wentz and possibly being benched.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, but earlier today, this morning, Mike Kay of NJ.com comes out with a column, and it says that I just want to be clear. It says a person with knowledge of the Eagles' plans. So that's who he spoke with, someone who has knowledge of the Eagles' plans. Said that Carson Wentz essentially is they've dumbed down the offense. They're trying to make everything with short throws. They're trying to design plays to create at least one open receiver immediately after the snap, mm-hmm. and have encouraged Wentz to throw that receiver for several reasons, to eliminate Wentz needing to run through progressions, et cetera, it gets the ball out of his hands quickly. So that's kind of what this person had said, was that they have changed the offense to try to help Carson. They're not just doing the same thing that they've always been doing. They are trying to be getting the ball out of his hands quicker, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Doug said that today.
Yeah, he did say that in the press conference today.
Yeah, Doug said that.
And then he also said that Carson.
But he also said he did it for the entire offense. And let me say this. Mm-hmm. You can't have one without the other. And I know people want to say, oh, he dumbed down the offense for Carson. No, he dumbed down the offense. It's fairly obvious. The quarterback, you can't have a complicated offense for Carson and dumb it down for the wide receivers. It doesn't work that way.
Well, and the offensive line can't protect either.
Exactly. Well, just think about it. It's nothing but inexperienced players out there at wide receiver. On the offensive line, of course he had to dumb it down. It wasn't just for Carson's benefit. It's for everybody else's benefit as well.
Mm-hmm.
We see these guys can't even run rub routes correctly. Doug pointed that out last game against the Giants, the young wide receivers. There was a play Sunday against the Browns where he's going to hit Greg Ward. What would have been a nice game had Greg Ward realized it was zone defense and sit down in the zone defense. Carson threw the ball where he expected him to be. Greg Ward kept running as Carson was getting hit. So these young receivers don't necessarily have it all down pat either. Mm-hmm. That affects the quarterback. If he expects you to be a certain place and you're not there, he may have to hold the ball.
Right.
Offensive line. You're going to tell me this offensive line has done a nice job? From time to time, a series or two. This offensive line has been horrendous all year long from a pass protecting standpoint. They've been horrendous all year long. Mm-hmm. And to no fault of their own, they're inexperienced guys out there. Driscoll, Malata, who had never played football before.
Well, they're on their like third or fourth
string
guard.
Hold on. I'm not done. Opetta, Herbig, Matt Pryor, who's terrible. Like, did I leave out anybody?
Jamon Brown.
Oh, Jamon Brown, who was terrible out there. Think about the guys that have been out there. What have they? The problem was they were still trying to run a complicated offense with all those guys.
Yeah.
That's a coaching thing.
Yeah.
So when I hear he dumbed down the offense or simplified the offense, I don't even take that as a knock against Carson. I take that as it's about time. Mm. You got a bunch of inexperienced players out there. There was a point when, who was his name? Ricky Huntley or
Richard Huntley.
Richard Huntley or what was the other kid's name? AK, Akil or whatever.
Killens.
Killens. Look at these guys that have been out there.
Killens, what is it, minus 11 yards in his one carry?
Yeah, I think he's on pace for the least amount of yards ever. In
he ran a reverse with him.
Yeah.
He lost 11 yards.
Yeah. Just think about it. We got lucky and found Travis Fulgham.
Yep.
So simplifying the offense isn't, in my opinion, something that is an indication of Carson solely. He's certainly part of it. But, man, look at all these guys. I mean, Rager's played, what, three games? Four games?
Yeah, not many. Yeah, it wasn't a hit piece on really anybody, because then a defensive player told Mike Kay that Wentz looks like the competitor we're used to in practice, so the game performance can't be all on him. So this whole sloppy practice thing, whoever talked to NJ.com disputed this, right? He goes on, teammates have noticed Wentz's tendency lately to use veteran playmakers as a crutch, targeting and trusting them on many plays when a younger receiver might have been the better choice.
You don't trust the young receivers.
Yep. While Wentz's chemistry with out-of-nowhere standout Travis Fulgham raids through October, the pair have been in a funk since returning from the bye week.
And why is that?
His defenses are paying attention to him.
Well, shouldn't they be designing plays to get Fulgham the ball?
Well, a regular coach would be, yeah. Right? I mean, just got to say.
I'm just wondering, it's two straight games. What, Travis has what, one catch?
His two catches for 16 yards in last two games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, aren't there some one-on-one situations you could take advantage? He's a big receiver that can go up by back shoulder and they're throwing the ball up.
Well, I will say he's also missed out on a few opportunities, and they didn't just start there. There was a couple in that Cowboys game, in the first Giants game, where when they won, but Fulgham had some in the back of the end zone where he could have caught that he didn't catch, but he wound up.
He's had some opportunities later. Yeah, two games ago.
And I'm not whipping Travis Fulgham. I'm just saying that sometimes you need, as a quarterback, you need guys to go out there and make plays for you. Like, every throw he makes isn't going to be a perfect pass.
Right. Yeah, the player also said that Wentz has been upbeat and precise in practice. So it's not that all this stuff about sloppy practice and all this other stuff is now being refuted on and off the record. Players are saying it. So if this was going on in practice, believe me, there'd be someone that would go off the record and say, hey, yeah, listen, this is happening here. That doesn't seem to be the case.
I just don't see why anybody down there is talking.
Yeah. It's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know why any of these players are talking.
Wentz trusts his tight ends more than his wide receivers. And then he goes on to say, leading up to the loss against the Browns, quarterback's coach, passing game coordinator, Press Taylor, was forced to isolate himself at home, blah, 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 blah. During Taylor's absence, teammates noticed that Peterson took a more critical and vocal approach with Wentz than the position coach typically would. Mm-hmm. That was his hardest week, according to the source. So there you go. That's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have Mad Mike. Mad Mike has been whining and complaining on Twitter. He can't get through to the show. Mike, you're on the air, man. What's up?
Hey, no. Congratulations. You're that popular. It's damn near impossible to get into.
I know you can get on other shows, Mike. It's okay. It's more
most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
They're not as popular as you are.
Correct.
Here's my thing. By the way, Andy from Deptford's always on the morning show. He even has a nickname. So if everybody wants to rat me out, I'm ratting Andy from Deptford out.
He's a loser.
They call him Andy the Troll, right?
Yes.
Andy the Troll. Yeah. So anyway, here's my thing. And I'm here to be an apologist for Doug because, you know, we wouldn't even be having a conversation about bringing in a backup quarterback if the Eagles or Howie Roseman hadn't drafted one in the second round last year. We wouldn't be having conversations about, you know, talent on the field and how come Doug can't do better with the talent if Howie Roseman drafted better. This is not – and first of all, Doug Peterson has no say over his roster. Like, you think Doug Peterson wants that fat old loser left tackle out there, Jason Peters over Mailata? No, that's a Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie thing. Like, you've got a neutered, just figurehead coach out there that's being told what to do by his front office. Like, this is all the front office interference, and because they made.
Yeah, but he also allows it, Mike, right? He allows it. And if that's something that he allows, then that also goes on him too, right? Because that's going to cost him his job.
He was brought in here because he was just a guy that was happy to have a job that wasn't going to rock the boat, and he was going to be different. Unlike Chip Kelly, who stole power and took everything back, Jeffrey Lurie just wanted a guy who was just happy and all shucks to be there.
You think he's doing a good job?
This is what we've got.
Do you think he's doing a good job?
No, I think the play calling could be better. Yes, but I think the fact that he has no talent out there, Howie Roseman's fault. The fact that he has barely any say over the roster and who's out there on Sundays, Howie Roseman, because Jeff McClain wrote about that. Like, what do you want Doug to do? Like, yeah, I get it. He could call better plays. But at the same time, Doug, he got us to a Super Bowl and won us a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. So you're telling me all of a sudden he can't coach?
With a roster that Howie Roseman put together, right? Like,
yeah,
if you want to rip
Howie
free
from agents, like, but Howie Roseman has blown four drafts in a row, John, and, like, we have no talent.
I'm not here to apologize for Howie Roseman, but if you're going to say that Doug won the Super Bowl, well, Howie won the Super Bowl too, right?
No,
and since then, they both regressed.
That he studied, and that was it. Howie has failed us in the draft. He's failed us in free agency lately. Let's
agree.
Every defensive tackle like $30 million. And they all are bums. Like, this is not Doug Peterson's fault. This is a front office failure because all they wanted was a figurehead coach who wasn't going to rock the boat. And now that's what they've got. And our quarterback, I don't know what the hell we have in him. And we have a backup quarterback that was taken with a second pick. And now everybody wants him because he was taken with a second pick. That's our problem, guys. It's all the front office not knowing what the hell they're doing.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great one.
You too, buddy. Thanks, Mike.
Spreading holiday cheer.
Oh, could you imagine? He's probably
only the Mad Mike way.
What do you think he's like at the Thanksgiving dinner table?
He's talking about what he just was talking about.
Right.
Mad all the time.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not the Thanksgiving dinner because he's probably there for like 6 or 7 minutes and he's right back to watching the football game. It's what he's talking about during the football game is what's interesting.
Are you complaining?
I'm sure he has some fire Thanksgiving takes, though.
Probably in years past. I mean, this year we're not doing large gatherings.
No.
Hopefully.
That's true.
Well, people are. I will not be.
That's what I'm saying. Like, hopefully. That was a wink out there, a hint to everybody. No large gatherings.
Yes. Yes, like the mayor of Denver would say, like, don't travel. Don't have large gatherings. Man, he was on a plane and went to, I think, to Alabama to be with his daughter and his family. Right after he sent a tweet that was, like, begging people not to travel. Like, come on, man.
Was he flying private?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, Lord.
No, but, like, you can travel safely. It's just you can't be telling people, please don't travel, please don't travel. And then
you go out and do
you
it.
You jump
on
a plane.
A public official.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just say travel safely if you are going to travel.
Yeah. If you are traveling, then just out.
Because there's obviously 3 million people traveling this week.
People are traveling. It's not like normal.
Yeah.
I saw Tim Jimenez from our sister station, 1060. He was at.
It's not 1060.
Oh, sorry. KYW 103.9.
Thank you.
So normally, Angela normally does that show at the airport today, and obviously we're not doing that. So he was at the airport. He showed a picture from last year compared to this year, and it's like, wow.
Oh, yeah, the difference.
Hashtag 2020.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good.
Fun year.
Are you frying the turkey?
Yeah. It'll be just
normal.
Just us four. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, and the two dogs. That's six of us.
Oh, that's right, because you got the addition. You got Herbie this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't feed him turkey.
Yeah, he's lucky if he don't go in that pot.
He's small enough to go in there right now.
Ooh, boy. I'm joking, people out there. I'm joking.
Yeah. I couldn't do that.
No. I'd be the one kicked out the house. You kidding me? It's not my dog. It's the wife and the daughter's dog.
Yeah, no, you'd be.
Yeah, they'd get rid of me. Me and Sparty, we'd leave.
It's like the end of the Flintstones where they put the Dino out, and then Dino puts him out.
Exactly,
and then Fred's
banging
on the door.
Yes.
Let's go to Kimberly. Kimberly in D.C., Kim, of course,
oh,
is our...
Oh, no, of course she called this week, of course.
The vice president of the LTBB. Hi, Kim. Hi, Kimberly. Sorry.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
What's up, Kimberly? What's up, Kimberly?
Happy Thanksgiving Eve. Hi, Ike.
Uh-huh.
Man,
uh-huh.
That game was so back and forth. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Yeah, I was hoping for a big night, Monday night from Mike Evans, and I didn't get it.
So you guys played in fantasy this week?
Yes.
Kimberly took you down?
She did.
Oh.
Let the Bronco bust.
Down to the last like 30 seconds of the Monday night game, though. We went back and forth. Yeah, like constantly.
And it's the only reason I was still up watching that game, Kimberly, because that's all I care about is my fantasy score. That's all I care about right now.
Me too. I was like, man, no Mike Evans, go Robert Woods. That's it.
Oh, he was killing me, yes.
Yeah, so you're in my way, though, because, you know, the top six teams make the playoffs. You're at six, and I'm at seven.
Yeah, I'm not tanking. Don't worry, I'm not tanking. I'm not giving up.
No, I know. Well, and I played Justin this week. You know, the first week of fantasy, I put a beat down on Justin, and now I'm pretty sure he's going to repay the favor.
His team's good, yeah. Jack drafted his team, by the way, Justin in Tennessee.
Yeah, good job, Jack.
Yeah. And also, can't
draft his own team.
To Andy from Deptford and Mad Mike, you know, I only call the Marks and Reese show. So just want to put that out there.
Well, that's why you're the vice president.
Yeah. Most importantly, I want to thank our fans.
Very loyal, Kimberly. Thank you.
yeah. And, you know, on the Carson thing, of course, as the vice president of the LTBB, I don't want to see him be benched. But it makes me angry to hear all this. I went back a few weeks ago and I was watching some games from 2017. And what jumps out immediately is, yes, you know, Carson was playing better then, but, you know, the O-line, how much time Carson has, and the receivers who would come back to the ball, you know, come back to the line of scrimmage if they had to, or, mm-hmm. you know, make a catch that wasn't, like, right in their hands. They'd have to, like, leap for it or something. You know, it's when you watch, it's amazing how much better the whole team is, and it's really hard to look at that and go, well, then this is all Carson's fault. Like, you just, it's not, no part of the game is at the level that it was then. And if we're not going to be we are criticizing all of those, but, you know, it makes me angry to hear people want to put this all on Carson.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you, Kimberly.
Kimberly,
know it.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Have a great Thanksgiving, Kimberly.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, because he's the quarterback, it's easy to put everything on him. And mm-hmm. and I would, I mean, at least
but
I
But the organization shouldn't do that. They should know better. That's one thing about us on the outside talking. They are connected to the situation. They know. They know
more than we do.
Way more than we do. Well, yes, they do. Especially about how someone is practicing, what his studying habits are, all of those things.
Yeah.
And they have to be more aware that this, while they're talking about taking pressure off of Carson, why are these Zoom press conferences putting more pressure on Carson? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. On one hand, you're saying we're trying to do this, we're trying to do that to take the pressure off Carson. We don't want to make him feel like he has to do it all. But it doesn't seem like that in the games or when discussing his standing with the team as the starting quarterback. Like, I don't know. I was really surprised today.
Me too.
I was really surprised today. And obviously you can tell by just my tone and what and my message today that that's in my head now. That, yeah, they must be thinking about benching him.
Yeah, it feels like it's inevitable
today,
now.
Well, I don't know if it's inevitable. If the guy's playing well, I mean, they're going to keep him out there. But I'm just focusing on the idea that they are – having discussions about it. They are. Because saying, to me, being inevitable says they are sure what they're doing. And I don't get that feeling. I didn't get a feeling of confidence listening to Doug. I got a feeling of,
I'm not sure
he's sure about what he's going to do or what to do.
We'll play you the sound coming up here during our next segment, exactly what happened today. But, I mean, the crib notes of it are that Doug Peterson, given an opportunity to say Carson Wentz is your starting quarterback, hesitated and had to think about it and then said, no, right? Like, yes, he's my starter. But, again, it's like it's – at the end of it, he said, like, oh, you guys can try to blow this up all you want. You're the one that's blowing it up. This is very easy. It was a very easy question. And, like, here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Because everything's via Zoom, mm-hmm. you don't really get a chance to follow up. Everybody's being saying, okay, Zach, you're next, and then right. John Clark's after that, right? So right. Everybody gets their question, and sometimes they can get a follow-up in, mm-hmm. but it's not a free-for-all like it normally is, right? Mm-hmm. To where, like, this should be easier on the players and Doug to be able to just give them nothing. Right, give him nothing. It should be easier than ever for Doug to do that.
I just don't know how you can be that confident with Jalen Hurts when you've only had him out there for read options?
I don't think he's confident.
He didn't play in the preseason. Well, think about this. That's your future. What are you doing to him? What are you going to do to him? What are you putting on his plate going out there? Just telling him to run around and make a couple plays? Like, what are you doing with
him?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like,
he didn't play in the preseason. He hasn't seen any real live action for more than one play at a time.
He runs a running play. He hasn't thrown a ball since.
That's what I'm saying. He hasn't even played a series, like consecutive plays, and what that's like, and blitz adjustments, and all those types of things. Like, those are the things, and you could be putting him in a situation where he can't succeed. That makes the organization look bad if he doesn't look good.
Even worse. Our Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers and De Beers Forever Mark Diamonds. A diamond is forever. Getting engaged, Mark's Jewelers should be your first and last stop. Online, marks-jewelers.com. Would the Eagles be making a mistake by benching Carson Wentz? Yes or no? Jack, did you vote yes or no in the poll? You created it.
I voted... I feel like Doug right now.
Yeah, really?
No, you shouldn't, because you should know where you voted. It's only two answers.
I don't think it would be. Exactly. Huh? I'm just trying to turn it to Doug.
I just want you to answer. Did you vote yes or no?
I didn't ask that. I didn't go to you on the Zoom call. Is he my Rob Motti?
No.
Is John Marks my Rob Motti?
He's stammering and stuttering, John.
No.
He's stammering in there.
Back to the bottom.
You don't even need to answer it at this point.
Yes, you
already gave your answer.
Yes,
no matter what you say, it's like with Doug. No matter what you say after it, it's over. But you know what it is like? Like, I would love to sit here or stand here now and say that, no, you shouldn't bench him. Leave him in there. Doug's going to figure this out. Carson's going to figure this out. They're going to get better. You just have to keep going back to the drawing board, right? Like, I don't believe that. And it's not just about Carson Wentz. It's about the atmosphere. It's about the environment. It's about the players around them. And it's about Doug.
Let me tell you this.
Yes.
When you're making a decision like this, it can't be, well, this is our last shot in the dark to see if this fixes him. This isn't high school, right? Like, and this isn't the Midwest. So you had better have a...
It's the Midwest, though.
Well, where you may get away with certain things, and
you're not playing in Cincinnati, right?
Exactly. And the media isn't as big; it isn't as big of a deal.
Gotcha.
So my point, and I'm from the Midwest. So my point in saying that is this is a huge story here, and if you handle it with uncertainty, that filters throughout your locker room. It's the one position that you have to be firm about. Or to what John said, it's inevitable that you're going to the other guy.
Yep. Yeah, based on their behaviors is why I say that.
And I just don't I don't get where their thinking is, this is going to help Carson Wentz. Like, you don't get to do a shot in the dark type of move with the quarterback as the head coach. Like, this isn't some, we've tried everything else. Let's try this and hope this works.
But don't you think?
Like, you don't get to do that.
That's
in
what
a
this
city
is.
Like, that's what it feels like, and that's what I'm afraid of.
Yes, that's what I'm afraid of.
Like, to me, you need to have a real plan. A plan for Jalen Hurts. If that's what you're going to do. By the way, we didn't even throw this out there. What if it's Nate Sudfeld they go to?
Oh, boy.
I mean, that would say – well, that would also say they're going back to Carson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the only alternative to keep the Hurts conversation down, is that if Wentz is struggling Monday night, and we'll notice if Nate is active.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yep.
Yes.
That's a good point.
You go to Sudfeld to say, I went to him because Wentz was struggling, and we thought he may give us a chance to win. But the minute you go to Jalen as the guy, that's going to create a storm that isn't going away the following week. You can get away with putting Sudfeld in there right now because everybody would know you're going back to Wentz. Or assume you're going back to Wentz.
But people that want Hurts would be so angry.
But it would say he's not ready.
Yeah, it would say that. All right, other side, we'll reset it. We'll play you what Doug said today at the press conference that added fuel to the fire. Didn't add fuel to the fire. He doused the fire with gasoline. That's coming up next. We have some heavy hitter callers as well, including Black Gritty coming up next. Mark Sinise on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.